Warning, the following podcast may prove to be informative and educational, but it is guaranteed to be entertaining. Welcome to Trivial Warfare, the podcast that takes the pub quiz out of the pub and brings it home to you. Now here's your host, Jonathan Oakes.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Trivial Warfare. We are the podcast that takes a pub quiz out of the pub and brings it home to you. And you guys know that now because Joel said it to you in the intro. How do you guys like that new intro?
I'm kind of digging it, to be honest with you. It sounds professional. What? Trivial Warfare professional?
Nah. That was Chris, by the way. You can tell we're not professional because I didn't say who's here before they started talking. And that's Carmella. Carmella, what did you think?
I thought it was great. I really did.
You're faking. That's totally not what you... That's not how you talk when you really like something. You didn't like it. Tell me you didn't like it.
How do I talk when I really like something?
Hello, boy.
Actually, I've never heard you like something. Now that I think about it.
Wow.
Are you saying I'm hard to please?
A little.
Well, you know. You got to work on that.
So that's Carmella. That's Chris. I'm Jonathan. And... we're glad to be back. This is our second episode in a row, guys.
Man, feels pretty good.
You guys went out and saw a movie this week without me. Feelings are hurt a little.
Well, in all fairness, you had already seen the movie. And you're not a fan of seeing movies twice.
And I was totally busy, I'm certain. But you guys went and saw Deadpool.
We did.
What did you think?
I loved it.
Yeah?
Loved it.
What was the line you said after the movie?
Well, oh, I've now seen more naked women with Chris than I have with most people. And he responded, me too.
True story.
What did you think of the movie? Now, Chris, you've never been a big Deadpool guy.
I have not.
You hate Deadpool.
I don't want to say I hate.
Really likes him.
Yeah, really does. Absolutely. I don't hate him. I'm not a fan. Just period.
So what did you think of the movie, though?
I had one problem with it, and that was I had too many people telling me how good it was. So I put it up on a level really expecting quite a bit, and it was good. It was very good, but it wasn't to the level that people hyped it up to be.
Well, now, yeah, it's not a Oscar-winning performance kind of movie.
No, but
it's not intended to be.
Exactly. No.
But I laughed pretty hard through most of the movie. I loved at the end of the credit sequence, which was great. Anyway, but yeah, it was pretty good. I enjoyed it. Like I said, I think the violence was about what I thought it was going to be. I really didn't think that there needed to be nudity in the movie, but there was. And
they wanted that hard R.
They really did. That's a great way of putting it. Yeah. That's exactly what they wanted.
You said hard R.
Thanks, Beavis.
Now, you also, Chris, you alone have also seen Batman versus Superman.
Yeah.
I'm widely on record as saying I think I already know the whole movie based on the preview, and I think it's going to be pretty terrible. And
we talked about it in a podcast previous where I thought it was going to be a crap storm.
And I agreed with you. And yeah. We had movie critics on recently that I've been keeping in touch with.
Yeah.
So I was talking to Joanna Langfield. She's a movie critic up in New York. And her one word description was splat.
Oh, for Batman.
For Batman versus Superman.
Interesting.
Chris, what did you think, being the person who's actually seen it?
I was kind of meh about it. But not like I was meh about Star Wars. I was meh about Star Wars because
you were angry about Star Wars.
And I was angry, but I kind of left Batman versus Superman just kind of going, okay, that happened. I mean, it wasn't the best movie in the world, but it wasn't the crap fest I really thought it was going to be, that I was really hoping it would to be. It wasn't the crap fest I wanted to be so badly.
Did Batman shoot at people with a gun?
He personally didn't pull the trigger, but he had an awful lot of cars and planes that had guns on it.
Anytime you're shooting with Batman, you have totally missed the mark with the characters. You don't know what you're doing.
And I agree with that. However, the 1989 Batman movie with Michael Keaton, the Batmobile had guns that he used to open up a door with or open up a wall with. I like that movie a lot. But I completely agree with you. The minute that there was guns being used and Batman was the person that was using them, I was right there with you.
Yep. I think it's time to warm it up, Chris. Warm it up, Chris!
right. Thanks, Carmella. Outstanding. All right.
Keep well, turn the volume up on that part.
This warming up Chris question is a listener submitted question.
Love the listener submitted questions.
And this is from our buddy Pate Hogan.
Thank you, Pate. We appreciate the question.
Absolutely. So Pate came up with the question. Carmella, Jonathan, I want you to name the top grossing movies of the 1980s based on domestic earnings.
How many of them?
10.
The top 10.
Do you think you have the advantage here?
Because I'm an 80s kid?
Or because I was only around for the last 2 years of the 80s?
Same thing I just said, right?
Really enjoys making us feel old. You notice that?
I don't feel old. I feel distinguished.
I would say 3 years, but I came at the end of 87.
So do I go first or do you go first?
Ladies first, of course.
So Jonathan goes first.
I was about to say you.
Oh, yes.
Man.
It's too bad I'm not asking the questions today.
No, do you want to go first?
It doesn't matter to me.
I'll go first.
Okay.
All right. So I'm going to say Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Ferris Bueller's Day Off?
Not on the list.
Not
is it?
On the list.
I'm going to go with E.T.
E.T., number one with a bullet. $399.8 million. Million.
Return of the Jedi.
Return of the Jedi. Number two on the list. $309.1 million.
Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Number five on the list. $242.4 million.
Temple of Doom.
Temple of Doom. Not on the list.
I cannot remember. I think Star Wars came out in 77, which means Empire probably came out in 79. So I don't think Empire is going to be on the list. Batman, 1989.
Batman, $251.2 million for number four on the list.
I do have an advantage of being old, don't I?
A little bit.
I just used it up, though. Those were the big ones.
Those were the big ones.
Oh, man, you're missing quite a bit more, my friend.
We got the top five.
Blues Brothers.
You're missing number three.
Oh, we are?
Yeah. Blues Brothers actually came out in 1978, not on the list.
I thought it came out in 1980.
Well, no matter what, it's not on the list.
Not on the list. Okay.
I might be wrong on the date.
I'm just naming my favorite movies at this point.
Fair enough. You guys have gotten 5, 4, 2, and 1.
I don't think there's a lot of John Hughes on this list. I'm going to go ahead and say Empire Strikes Back.
Empire Strikes Back, number three on the list, $290.2 million.
Come out in 1980?
1980.
Mm-hmm. Lucky break there.
I really thought it was 79.
When Lucas did all of his movies, they always came out 3 years after one another.
Oh.
Okay. Think of a movie.
Okay, I thought of one.
Spaceballs.
I'm sorry, Spaceballs not on the list. Really didn't make that much money. It wasn't until it went to video.
How about Superman, number one?
Superman was in 1978.
Actually. Son of a gun.
That was
gun.
In the 70s.
Superman number two?
Nope. Not on the list.
I didn't think two would be the money maker. I think one, to see the man fly,
right.
I'm pretty sure that made a lot of money.
I'll give you guys, and Superman two I thought was the best of the bunch.
Give us one more round of our own before you give us a hint.
All right.
I'm trying to think. Oh, Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
Not on the list. I believe that was in the 70s also.
No.
Yeah. It was
really?
It was before E.T., and E.T. was like 81, 82.
What? Yeah. Darn. I was trying to think Spielberg, you know?
Yeah.
Cocoon? Okay, well, there is another Spielberg movie on here.
She just said Cocoon.
Oh, I thought she was kidding because she laughed afterwards. That's not on the list either.
Okay, go ahead and hint us.
All right, there is 1, 2, 3 action movies. There's 2 comedies.
Oh, I know one.
All right. Well, it's Jonathan's turn, so.
Romancing the Stone.
Not on the list.
Die Hard.
Not on the list,
really?
But should be.
Rated R. Rated R in those days, you didn't have a lot of people.
There is one rated R movie on the list, and you have not named it yet. And Jonathan, you should name, there should be one that I'm shocked you haven't said it yet. Shocked.
Shocked.
It's a comedy.
Major League?
No. You even have it on your shelf somewhere.
It's not Monty Python. They didn't make any money. Now I'm looking at my shelf. What the hell's on my shelf?
It's not an elf.
Heartbreakers? Empire Records?
Lost Boys?
Damn. It's not Clerks.
All right, I'm going to give you guys one more guess each, and then we'll move on.
Carmella, you're up, I think.
Actually, you're up, because you never said one.
No, I didn't.
She said Cocoon.
I'm going to go with Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade.
Number 9 on the list, $197.2 million.
I thought that was like early 90s.
I thought it was too, but when in doubt.
Shout it out.
Pull out Indiana Jones.
Shout it. Shout it.
Shout it.
Shout it out.
All right, so one more set and one more guess each. Exactly, Rambo.
Rambo.
Not on the list.
That would be great.
Rocky IV.
Not on the list. At number 10 with 176.8 million, Top Gun.
Oh, no!
Oh, it's a Tom Cruise movie. That's why I didn't care for it.
Top Gun!
Number 9, Indiana Jones. Number 8, Back to the Future. $210 million.
Oh, no! Oh, Ghostbusters!
Number 7, Beverly Hills Cop with $234 million. Number 6 with $238 million. Or 228 million, excuse me, Ghostbusters.
Why did he blank out all these 80s movies?
He gave me Ghostbusters. Yep. That's Christmas. Why he knew it was on my shelf.
Yes. Yep. So that, my friends, is your warming up Chris question on the episode.
I feel very cold.
Hey, good job by Pate. That was a good question.
Yeah, that was a great question by Pate.
And by the
way. Thank you, Pate.
So let's talk about Pate for a second. Pate's one of our guys over there on the Trivial Warfare Army Facebook group. And Pate did something that's just out of the park amazing. Okay? So Pate reached out to Chris and said, hey, Chris, I'm really interested in donating to the show and buying you guys a dinner or something because I've been listening to the show for a while. You've brought me a lot of entertainment. Want to pay you back. And so I don't know if you guys realize or not, but we've been doing the show for free for a year now, a little longer than a year. It's not that we don't want to ever make any money. It's just we haven't figured out the best ways to do that yet. I am going to be opening something called a Patreon account in the next month or two, maybe three. And that's a setup where people can set up a recurring donation of $1 a month, $2 a month, $5 a month, that kind of thing, to their favorite shows or things that they want to support. So hopefully that'll be a cool way for people to donate if they want to. But Pate, it's like, I don't want to wait. Can you get a PayPal account? And so he shot some money over by PayPal and said, here, I just want to donate this. So I just want to say really, truly thank you to Pate. That's just amazing to me. Fantastic. I really, really appreciate that. And I realize, you know, there might be other people like that who want to donate. So I'm going to add the trivialwarfare@gmail.com address to my PayPal account. And if anybody wants to shoot a donation over by PayPal, they should be able to do it to the trivialwarfare@gmail.com via PayPal.
All right. And Pate, thanks again, man. We really appreciate that.
Absolutely. Good job, Pate.
Very sweet of him.
Okay, I think it's time to turn it over to Carmella.
Well, I mean, Pate likes the trivia questions, so I think we should probably give him some.
Let's give him some.
All right, and everybody else.
All right, now.
No, not them.
Now no pressure
He paid for him. This is his show.
Fair enough.
This show is sponsored by Pate. This show is sponsored by Loot Crate. I forgot to mention that. We're going to talk more about Loot Crate after the midpoint question. This show is sponsored by Loot Crate officially. But in actuality, today, show is sponsored by Pate Hogan.
Thanks, Pate. Hopefully these questions don't disappoint you. All right.
She's like scratching out all of her 80s movie trivia questions.
Like, no, my quiz is ruined.
Hey, guys. I'm coming in from the future with a couple of pieces of information that I want to share before we get the show started today. The first thing is that I just published a free guide on how to improve your trivia score. If you are interested in picking that up, go to trivialwarfare.com, roll over to the show stuff link, and under there you will find a link for free guide. There's a sign-up form there. You just share your email address and your name with me, and it will send you through a little process to get you to a link to download the guide. So if you're interested in improving your trivia score, go follow that path, and you can download the free guide. The next thing I wanted to tell you, we have a winner for the contest that we did with the Loot Crate box.
Well, it's about time. It seems like it was a long time ago that you announced this thing.
It was weeks ago.
Oh, terrible, man. Terrible.
So I did the random drawing a couple of nights ago. Ding! And the winner is Greg Priest.
Nice, Greg. Congratulations to you.
So, Greg, you are the winner of the Daredevil Punisher knit cap, the AVP figurine, and the Superman versus Batman wallet.
Fan-dang-tastic.
All right, congratulations, Greg.
Yeah, Greg. Thanks for signing up and being a part of the Trivial Warfare Army.
All right, the next thing.
We have another thing?
There's like a bunch of things. That's why we're recording this right now.
My goodness, we're busy.
So podcast award season is upon us.
Yes.
So we are, we're in the nomination process at the moment. People, listeners of different podcasts, have to nominate the shows that they enjoy if they want those shows to have a chance at winning the podcast awards this year.
Nominating sounds kind of difficult, is it, Jonathan?
Actually, very easy.
Oh, wow. Very good.
Well, that is so contrived.
Jonathan and I do not work out these spots at all before we start. I was just trying to throw them off, and I think I did very well.
So anyway, if you want to nominate this show, go over to podcastawards.com, and it's very easy. You just click on the section, you type the name of our show, and you put our website address in there, our URL. And that URL is www.trivialwarfare.com. If we get nominated, we're hoping to get nominations for the People's Choice Awards and for the Games and Hobbies. I think we have a good chance at Games and Hobbies if we get enough nominations.
You know what? I think we have a good chance in the People's Choice Awards. I mean, our people are awesome. Our army is amazing.
That is true.
And we need everybody to get out there and vote for us so that we can get some more recognition, so we can get more people in the army and dominate the trivia world.
Well, they're not voting yet.
Well,
they're nominating.
But
the voting comes later.
But the nominations help other people learn about the show and listen to it.
No.
Oh, well, that's a bummer.
No. They need to nominate us first. And the voting will come a few weeks after that.
Right. But we can only get voted on if we're nominated,
that's
and therefore
exactly
more
right.
people will listen to us.
Now you're on the right track.
That's what I was trying to say. Just did it poorly.
Okay.
Shocker, I know.
So, podcastawards.com. If you want to see us move on, make sure you nominate us. All right. The next one. The next piece of news here. SpeakPipe.
Yes. What the heck is that? You've been talking about this for about a week or so to me.
So, SpeakPipe is a really cool tool that lets people send audio messages to us that we can use on the show.
Whoa.
So if you
trippy.
If you go to the website, once again, trivialwarfare.com, on the right-hand side of the page, you'll see a send voicemail link. And if you have a webcam hooked up or a microphone hooked up, any kind of thing that lets you talk into your computer, then you'll be able to just click the link and very easily leave a message for us. Now, since we're a trivia show, we obviously want questions. If the questions are good enough, I'll start using them on the show.
Bam, there you go. See, you could be an active part of the show, so that's the good part, because we want you guys to be a part of this show.
Yep.
So the whole part about how the listener tournament came about in the first place is we want our listeners to be an active part of the show.
That's right.
Because without you, we are nothing.
Well.
We are just two guys sitting in a room farting around.
Well.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So, if you want to be a part of the show, if you want to hear your voice on the show, go ahead and leave questions on the SpeakPipe. TrivialWarfare.com, right-hand side. And that's it for the business. Let's get on with the show.
All right, first category is going to be movies, oddly enough.
Woohoo!
Who played Trapper John in the movie MASH?
The movie MASH?
In the movie MASH, who played Trapper John?
Crap. Chris is writing. That's not a good sign. I can only hope that's right. I'm going to write something down.
Okay.
All right, I'm locked in.
Okay. If you asked a TV question about MASH, I probably could have recited so much to you, because the TV show MASH is my second favorite TV show of all time.
Behind the West Wing.
That is correct.
Wow.
See, she knows her stuff.
I know my Chris trivia.
And then right before How I Met Your Mother. So, just in case.
Really?
Yeah.
More than Scrubs?
Yeah, Scrubs is 4.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Wow. So,
I love Scrubs.
Only because Scrubs really screwed it up at the end of it.
I refuse to watch season 9. It
Still,
doesn't exist.
There is no such thing.
Doesn't even matter.
There is no season 9.
Season 9 is dead to us. Anyway, okay.
Still better than How I Met Your Mother.
That's so See, again, he's watched like half of an episode and he thinks he knows stuff. We know that's not true. So anyway, going back to the question at hand, so, Trapper John, I believe it was Donald Sutherland, and unfortunately, I've only seen the movie one time. I mean, so.
Aw, that's sad.
And the only reason why I'm saying his name is because I can't remember the other guy. I really can't. And he's a very famous actor. He has been around in multiple comedies, and his name is just not creeping to my head. And my final answer is Donald Sutherland.
I can only remember one actor from that movie, too. and it wasn't Donald Sutherland.
Okay.
If I had remembered Donald Sutherland, I might have said him. So I was trying to figure out, was Alan Alda in the movie? Who played Hawkeye? That's the big, who played Hawkeye?
Right.
Because the other one's going to be Trapper, right? So I think we named Hawkeye and Trapper between the two of us.
Right.
But I don't know which is which, because I said Elliot Gould.
Oh, Elliot Gould. That's his name.
Donald Sutherland played Hawkeye.
Yes, it's Elliot Gould.
Elliot Gould was Trapper John.
Nice job, man. Wow. Nice job.
I love me some me.
Wow.
No one loves Jonathan more than Jonathan. You know who the only other person I say that about is? No one loves Kanye more than Kanye.
That's right. Me and Kanye, two of a kind. Except for the fact that I hate Kanye.
I know you do. Next category is literature.
Yeah, all right.
Who served as Dante's guide in the Inferno?
Whew. This is a lovely question, by the way.
Yeah.
Thank you. I came up with it myself.
I'm going to get it wrong, but I like the question a lot.
Have either of you read that book before?
No.
No.
Okay.
Have you?
I recommend it. I enjoyed it very much.
Wow.
All three of them.
My goodness.
I'm locked in.
Okay. I want to say it was Beelzebub. Final answer.
Is that your answer? Okay. Jonathan?
Okay. So I know that it is somebody famous from antiquity. I was going back and forth between, like, was it Socrates? Was it Aristotle? Was it Homer? And I finally settled on Virgil, the poet who wrote the Aeneid. So I went with Virgil.
Well, Dante Alighieri was Italian, and it was the Roman poet Virgil.
Wow.
Woo!
You should have just seen the funky dance Jonathan just did for us. How did you know that, Jonathan, without reading the book?
I have, well, two ways. Okay. I've read about it before. But, you know, when I was in high school, I did Brain Brawl, and Mr. Mead, our professor...
I did Brain Brawl, too.
Mr. Mead, our professor, gave us probably a binder with maybe 10 to 20 pages of stuff, and he was an English teacher, so his favorite topic was literature.
Mm.
There was at least 10 pages of author, story, person, main theme of the book. So that was had to be in there.
Nice.
I was the literature person on our team.
Yeah.
So
the one that I will never ever forget is the first one on the list was A.G. A.G.E.E. was the guy's last name, and he wrote A Death in the Family, and it was the first one you always saw, and I locked in with it because A Death in the Family was the name of a Batman book that came out around the same time.
All right, last question. The round's going to be in sports.
Sports.
What number did Magic Johnson wear when he played for the LA Lakers?
You want to go 3, 2, 1?
Yeah. 3.
3, 2, 1.
32.
It was 32.
Man, I'm so glad that was right. there was a risk there.
I was really surprised that you wanted to go 3, 2, 1 on there. I was
just
going to
just put it out there.
Hey, fair enough.
They retired the number when he retired.
Yeah. Well, they have retired so many numbers. Them and the Celtics. It's incredible how many numbers
they've retired.
They're
two very iconic teams.
Speaking of iconic, that was an iconic round. It is 30-10 with Jonathan in the lead after the first round.
Oof.
I don't know if that's iconic, but...
Couldn't be better.
It could be better for Chris.
I'm all right.
Oh, you were paying attention to Chris?
Oh, I'm just trying to... I'm playing devil's advocate.
Remember,
here.
Nobody loves him more than him.
I'm playing Virgil's advocate.
Virgil's advocate. All right. First question in the second round is going to be in television. On what show would you find the serial killer, Mr. Yang?
Nope.
Wow.
There ain't nothing in there for that one.
I know, right? I was thinking the same thing.
Could you read it again?
On what show would you find the serial killer, Mr. Yang?
Serial spelled with an S, not a C?
Yes.
Okay.
Nobody's killing some
raisin. I kill some cereal, buddy.
Me too.
You didn't tell us a decade or anything like that?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
But it is a popular TV show.
I'm going to lock in an answer. I'm not 100% sure on it, but there is a character like that in this show that I'm thinking of, so locked in.
Already locked in, okay.
Yep.
Mr. Yang. So, for Carmella to have a short and sweet question like that, I always look for clues in questions. And the only clue that I see in this question is the guy's name, Mr. Yang, which is Asian, assumedly, I assume. So, I would assume that this would be a show with Asian influences or Asian ties or something like that. And that's as far as I can get there. I can't think of any shows that fit that bill. I don't know many shows that have serial killers. I don't watch any horror or any even thriller TV shows. I don't watch any of them. CSI, Criminal Minds, none of it. I don't watch any of it.
But right it's there with you.
Probably one of those. I'll just go with Criminal Minds.
All right, Chris?
All right, my answer was the TV show Psych.
So this character was played by one of my personal favorite people, Ally Sheedy, on Psych.
Yes!
Ally Sheedy was named Mr. Yang?
Yep. She went by Mr. Yang.
Wow.
Yes.
You definitely had an advantage on that question.
Have you even heard of that TV show?
Well, yes, you loaned it to me and I never watched it.
Yes,
you should.
Right.
It's a great show. All right. Next category is history. Was the Battle of Britain fought on land, on sea, or in the air?
3, 2, 1?
Well, I don't want a 3, 2, 1, but I know the answer. So, I mean, if you want.
Locked in.
Okay. I believe it was air in World War II. So, final answer.
Air.
It was in the air in 1940.
All right.
Yep. It was over the skies of London, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Between the Nazis and the Royal Air Force.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. Last question in the round is going to be in religion.
Ooh. Oh, life's bigger. Bigger than you, and you are not me.
Anybody who had religion just lost it.
Who wrote the 95 Theses?
Locked in.
Okay.
Very short. That might be the shortest question we've ever had on the show. There's just very little in there. Either know this one or you don't.
She's written a couple of them pretty short in the last
one. That one was short.
So the answer is Martin Luther, final answer.
He nailed them on the door of the church at Wittenberg. It is Martin Luther.
Martin Luther.
The interesting part is I had a complete brain freeze on that one, even though
I noticed that because you were trying to talk about it, but you couldn't actually say anything.
No, I didn't. And what I ended up doing was I ended up naming the denominations in my head because I knew that one of them had the answer. Lutheran finally came to me, and then it was like, okay.
So, Chris.
Yes.
You had an iconic round.
Did I sweep it?
You swept it.
Sweep it.
It is 50-40. Jonathan's in the lead.
All right. Had to do a little catch-up right there.
All right. Category is science.
Science!
Science!
What kind of creature?
Way to go, Rambo.
Rambo said science.
You guys probably couldn't hear that, but Rambo followed us up. It was awesome.
What kind of creature produces gossamer?
It depends on what I've had to eat. You're writing something down?
Right now I'm thinking.
Yeah, me too.
It's one of three for me.
It's always one of three for you.
Is it?
Yeah, you usually have like three things will come into your head simultaneously, and you got to figure out which one's the right one.
Huh.
Happens to you all the time.
True story.
I think Chris is right. I am kind of the historian of the show. I analyze what's going on.
Man. It's like I know the answer, but I can't think of it. And that's the thing that stinks. You at least have a one in three shot.
If any of those three answers are right.
I have a one in an infinite shot right now, and it's just not coming to my head.
Chris is like, let's do this by process of elimination. It's not an elephant. It's not a hippopotamus.
Or is it?
It's not a manatee.
It's not a hungry, hungry hippo. All right, I'm going to lock in an answer, Jonathan. It's a wrong answer.
Before you lock that in,
okay.
How specific do we have to be? Let's say that if the answer was elephant, would we have to say elephant or African elephant,
Indian
elephant?
No, you don't have to be that specific.
Okay, so, okay.
I'm still locked in. So go ahead, John.
It's a genus, not a species, basically.
Pretty much, yeah.
I'm not a fan of
it. You're locked in?
I'm not a fan of it at all, but I really don't know anything else.
So gossamer is, if I'm not, it's possible I'm off here, but it's a fabric kind of thing.
Oh, okay.
So it's either a fabric or... It is my best understanding of gossamer is it's either thin filaments. It's thin filaments of some sort that I think you could turn into fabric like silk almost, which leads me to think worm, like a silkworm. It also leads me to caterpillar. And the last one is spider. I imagine there's a kind of spider that's web is thick enough to be considered gossamer. So that's what I've been thinking, right? Is it a spider? Is it a worm? Is it a caterpillar? I don't technically know what gossamer is. That would really help if I did.
That was my struggle too, by the way.
Yeah. I'm going to go with spider. I could be wrong. It could really be the same. It could be the stuff that silk is made out of, but I'm going to say spider.
I was thinking it was something out of pollen or what have you, because again, not knowing what gossamer is, it was kind of a struggle for me. So I put bees.
Okay.
So
gossamer is also known as spider silk. It's a spider.
Oh, I am freaking happy with myself right now.
By the way, if you put any pictures of a spider on the show notes, I'm not looking at those show notes.
Don't tell her the spiders are there and then have them crawl across the screen.
Man, you should have just seen Carmella just like shiver.
Ugh, hate spiders. Next question is going to be in mythology. What is the name of the daughter of Zeus and Demeter that became the queen of the underworld? And if you're wondering if I wanted to write a question with the word Demeter in it, the answer is yes. Hi, Mark.
Nice. That's awesome. That's really well played.
Zeus and Demeter?
Zeus and Demeter had a daughter who became queen of the underworld.
Okay, I'm locked in.
Okay. You're not a fan of that answer, are you?
I'm not a fan of it. It doesn't feel right. Mm. And if it doesn't feel right, it's usually not right.
Yeah. No, I hear you. But luckily for you, I really don't know. Really, unfortunately, the only mythology I really know is from Rick Riordan books, and that's a shame. And I'm trying to go through.
I have Ovid's Metamorphosis down here somewhere if you want to borrow it.
All I was going to say is Gesenite. And I think Carmella might be very interested in it. You know, it's one of those things where it's like, pretty sure Hades is the wrong answer, but that's the answer I'm giving.
Okay. Hades is in the underworld. He's the god of the underworld.
Yeah.
So it's his wife. And the name that I have is Persephone. And the thing that I struggled with here is that Persephone in my mind is a water nymph or a water dryad or something like that. And I wouldn't have thought that the daughter of Zeus and Demeter would have been that. I would have thought that would have been a daughter of maybe Poseidon and somebody. So that's where I'm struggling.
I think you're right. That sounds awfully familiar.
So my answer was Persephone.
So the answer is Persephone.
It's a very pretty name, actually, Persephone. Yeah. I like that name. It's a shame she ruined it by being the goddess of the underworld.
Indeed.
Was she a water nymph or water dryad or something to do with water?
I think she did have something to do with water at one point. I don't remember Persephone's story all that well, but I do remember that she...
Pretty sure Hades kidnapped her.
Yeah.
Nothing says love like kidnapping.
He got to choose his wife, and she didn't want any part of being in the underworld kind of thing.
Well, you can't necessarily blame her for that.
No.
All right, last question. The round's going to be in literature.
Literature.
What famous American author wrote A Connecticut Yankee and King Arthur's Court?
3, 2, 1.
Sure.
3, 2, 1. Mark Twain.
It is Mark Twain.
I almost said Samuel Clemens just for the fun of it, but I was like, I didn't want you to get nitpicky on me.
I couldn't say you were wrong with Samuel Clemens.
Okay.
That's the end of the third round.
It is, and you're up by a bit.
80 to 50.
Man, I didn't realize you were up by that much. I thought it was 20.
You missed two out of three in that round.
Yeah, and you got all right, right?
Yes. Okay, right. Midpoint question.
Yes, halftime.
Yes.
It's going to be in science.
Science. Oh, man, the categories have not been kind to
me. That is true. There's been less in the movie question you didn't get.
Yeah. It was a good movie question, though. Just tough.
So biology classifies life into a hierarchy of 8 categories. I want you to name 5.
I thought it was 7.
It's 8.
Really?
Yes.
Can we get bonus points on this one?
You get 1 bonus point for every additional one that you name.
And you want 5 and not 4, so they're 4 points each?
Yep.
Say the question again, please.
Biology classifies life into a hierarchy of 8 categories. I want you to name 5 of them.
It's 7.
It's 8.
Well, you guys argue about that, I'm completely screwed.
We can have this discussion after we give the answers, but there's 8.
I'm not miscounting, so you must be adding one. So you're not asking for the... You're asking for the different kingdoms, is what you're asking for, isn't it? No.
I'm asking for what's that hierarchy?
You're asking for the full hierarchy.
The taxonomy hierarchy.
Jonathan, do you want me to... I mean, are you clarified now? I could step outside if you...
I'm really confident in the 7. I've never heard of an 8th. So if there's 8, then it might be new. But I know what we were taught. I know the acronym or the
mnemonic.
Yeah, I'm completely hosed.
If we're gonna have words, Missy.
We can have words.
We already are. We're doing a podcast.
So many words.
So are you locked in then?
Oh yeah. Sorry, I'm locked in.
Okay.
Sorry.
He was too busy arguing with me without saying anything.
So I'm, yeah, like I said, I'm completely hosed because I don't remember. I don't know any of this. I literally do not know any of this.
Do you want to just take a shot at a few of them?
Well, the problem is I mean, I can give you words, but they're just words.
I like words.
Give eight words?
That's not the point. The point is just...
Chris is like, pancakes, TV.
Oh, because, I love pancakes and TV. Well, not so much TV, but I love pancakes.
Minus the TV. Add syrup. Can I trade out the TV for the syrup, please?
Because when he started talking about the kingdoms, I was thinking, okay, zoology, I mean, all that stuff. But I don't know. I really don't know. I don't.
No answers?
I'm going to say zoology is the only one I could think of, and that's it. I'm really, I'm out.
Okay.
That's very, very frustrating. I really don't know.
You were given one that you didn't say. Kingdom is the first one.
Oh, okay.
So the order, or I don't know the order, but it's kingdom, phylum, class, order, family, genus, and species. What's the eighth one? I said group just in case it was group, but I'm only aware of seven.
So from the top, domain, kingdom, phylum, class, order, family, genus, species.
Domain, that is not one of them.
It is. It's not. Absolutely is.
What orders of life are not included in the kingdoms? What are the domains? Because I know kingdom was at the top. You have animals, plants, fungi, and like two others that make up your kingdoms.
I'm not a fungi.
And that's all life.
I'm not a fungi.
So domain could be higher than that, but that wouldn't be life. That would be inanimate objects or matter that's not living.
They categorize life into domains first.
What are the categories?
I'm looking it up for
you. Oh, sorry. I thought you had it.
Patience, young Padawan.
Domains are a relatively new grouping.
Ah.
The three domain system was first proposed in 1990.
Ah.
But not generally accepted until later.
After my education. I took biology in 91, by the way.
One main characteristic of the three-domain method is the separation of archaea and bacteria, previously grouped into a single kingdom, bacteria. Consequently, the three domains of life are conceptualized as archaea, bacteria, and eukaryota?
Eukaryotes.
Comprising of nuclei-bearing eukaryotes. So there are three domains.
So it's new. Okay. That's why. And by the way, that means all of the mnemonics are wrong now.
So now you can say, Dear King Philip came over for good spaghetti.
Yeah. Group. No, seriously, though, that's fooey patootie.
It's all right, the classification.
I will take my two extra bonus points there.
Well, you can take your full 22 points on that one.
And that's a word to the wise for all of you guys who are in pub trivia. There are eight now, and domain is the new one.
Man, he got them all.
You scientists changing bitter. Stuff on. Well, you're changing
only,
stuff.
Only
no, I think it's okay
science
to change
evolves,
stuff.
Buddy.
It evolves over time, and it's getting more and more specific, so that way you can categorize things better.
It's just amazing.
It's a process improvement.
He got
deal
it.
With it.
He went 22 points over, and he's still bitter.
Because it means I missed one on something I think I know all of.
Oh, dear Lord.
Well, just
it's
to
like
change
if somebody, your diaper, man.
You know something new today.
If somebody asked you to name all of the six friends from the TV show Friends, how would you feel? You'd be like, there's only five, dude. This is BS.
No, there's six of
there
them.
There are six friends. That should be an outtake.
I'm so bad at this.
There's five main characters in How I Met Your Mother. Maybe that's what you meant. And I'll just give you credit
no,
for it.
No, I meant Friends.
Oh, gosh.
I'm like, is he joking? There are six
No,
friends.
He was being honest. He was being for reals. Man, I am getting my butt handed to me. I need this second round to be good.
All right, it's 102 to 50 after
okay.
Midpoint.
Man, double me up.
Ooh. Speaking of doubling you up, let's talk about Loot Crate.
That's the worst transition ever.
not good at transitions yet, people. But you know who's good at getting you awesome geeky stuff at a good price? Loot Crate.
Absolutely.
Oh, now who's good? Now okay. Who's good now?
You're doing a little better now.
Thank you.
You're all gaining right. Momentum.
So you guys know Loot Crate's deal. $20 a month gets you these awesome boxes with some of the coolest toys, some awesome t-shirts. We talked. There was
Just toys and stuff, though, man. You actually get some other cool stuff in there. Carmela was just telling us about that a little while ago. You got a couple books in there, correct?
Yeah, I got some books that I really enjoyed. That's how I got my copy of Ready Player One by.
What's Ready Player One about?
Ready Player One is about a kid who kind of like the whole world kind of lives in this virtual kind of space. To kind of escape from the real world, and it's about that. And
it's like a video game thing, though, right?
Kind of like, there's a ton of pop culture references.
Yeah.
And it's a very good book.
Steven Spielberg's actually making a movie out of it now.
Oh well, that's cool.
And so that came in on your loot crate
subscription? It came in one of my loot crates. I also got a Star Wars translation book, like one of those like field guide translations that you get like if you're going to Spain or something.
Yeah.
So now I have like, you know, you talk like a Wookiee. And I also got, I'm a big fan of Max Brooks's
World War Z.
Yeah. So I got his zombie survival guide handbook in a loot crate once.
Nice.
So I like all the books I get from it.
And one of my favorite ones was in October, or last October, they had a time crate that came out. And in that time crate, it came with a miniature replica of the Back to the Future hoverboard. Which is just outstanding.
Oh, that's cool.
Matter of fact, on the Trivial Warfare Army.
You got a picture.
There's a picture on there. That's
on
right.
On the Trivial Warfare Army Facebook group, put a picture out there.
I remember that box because you gave me the Sonic Screwdriver spork in there.
Yes. Yes.
I love that thing. It's still on my desk.
That's cool. So you guys, you're hearing about all the cool stuff that's in Loot Crate. This is truly the place to go to get unique things that you can't get in other places. So that's really cool. The way it works for us is you get to show them that you are coming and buying their stuff because we told you about it. If you go through the website lootcrate.com/TWA, if you use TWA as a coupon code from that website, you will get 15% off of your first month's box. So hope you guys go and check that out. As you can hear, there's fun stuff in there. Okay, great. So good job. Remember, lootcrate.com/TWA. All right, Carmela.
All right, let's get into the second half. Category is going to be sports.
Sports.
Sport.
There are two cities that have hosted the most Super Bowls at 10 hostings.
Mm-hmm.
New Orleans is one. What's the other one? The other city?
That's a good question.
I could be wrong, but I'd go 3-2-1 on this if you want to.
Really? No, thank you, sir.
Oh, okay.
No. You write that down, mister.
Locked in.
Okay. Because honestly, when you asked that question, New Orleans was the first one. Then you said New Orleans is the first one. I was like, crap. Dang it, Carl.
Well, I'm obviously going to name the most obvious one.
The other two that are coming into my head is Miami and Pasadena. Pasadena at the Rose Bowl. And then, of course, Miami Miami. Not even a chuckle out of that.
Sorry, I was singing to myself in my
You're
head.
You're still singing All of Me? He's basically singing love songs to himself, folks.
And you said you weren't a narcissist.
I'm not, but I play one on TV.
Mm, on a podcast.
On a podcast.
There you go. So the question is, is it Pasadena or is it Miami? And I'm afraid that I'm going to say one and it's going to end up being the other one. So, curse you, New Orleans. I knew your answer right.
Almost certainly that's going to happen to you.
Yes, I know. I know.
Unless you get it right.
Yeah, I know. I'm going to say Miami. Final answer.
I'm going to Miami. Indianino. Miami.
That's what I was singing in my head.
Me too. Oh, okay.
It is Miami.
Woo-hoo. Thank God.
I wish you'd have said Pasadena.
I know you did, but I need to try to stay with you on this, for goodness sakes. I know you want your runaway, but over my dead carcass.
Runaway. That's not how that goes. How does Runaway go by Dion?
Runaway.
Nope, that's not it.
Yes,
either.
It is.
That's not how it goes.
Runaway.
Not how it goes in my head.
Oh, then you're wrong. All right, what's the next question?
It's going to be in history. Which Apollo mission saw the first launch of the complete lunar module?
Okay. Locked in.
Okay. So, I feel like it's going to be the Apollo mission where they landed on the moon for the first time. And I don't know which one that is. I know that it would be before Apollo 13, because we have Apollo 13 as a reference point. And if I'm remembering correctly, by the time Apollo 13 came around, going to the moon was kind of old hat. It wasn't expected. It was a routine mission of sorts, almost. So at first I thought it might be Apollo 11, but because I'm remembering that about 13, that would have only been the third time, and the third time you wouldn't consider something routine. So I don't think it's 13, not 11. I'm starting to think it's either 8 or 9, and that's as far as I can get logically. So I'm going to say Apollo 9.
Okay, I said Apollo 11.
So Apollo 11 was the first one that landed on the moon.
Oh.
So it was kind of old hat by the third one, I guess.
I guess so. Or I just was totally wrong about that thought process.
But the first launch of the complete lunar module to test it was Apollo 9.
Oh my gosh, I totally lucked into that.
Wow.
That was extreme luck happening right there.
My goodness. Wow. Sometimes it's just not your episode, and this is definitely turning out to be one of them. Because I was thinking the exact same as you.
Yeah.
But I knew Apollo 11 was the first one that landed on
Oh, so
on
you knew. Yeah. Yeah. I would have gone there if I'd have known that.
All right. Last question in the round is going to be an art.
Oh, good.
Crap.
Which of the following artists was not an impressionist? Monet, Matisse, or Degas? I'm looking for the one that was not an impressionist.
All right. And you only gave us three in a multiple choice.
Give us the three again, please.
Monet, Matisse, Degas.
So I've locked in my answer.
I figured, because I saw you diligently writing down. So I believe Monet is. And so I've immediately crossed out Monet. So it's Matisse or Gaudet or whatever the heck it is.
Degas.
And I want to... I really think it's Degas. I really, really do. So I'm sticking with it and going with it. So Degas is my answer.
Okay. So Monet's most famous impressionist.
Yep.
Degas is synonymous with ballerinas. If you say who painted a ballerina about anything, the answer is going to be Degas.
Mm.
And I've seen a lot of those paintings, so I know what they look like, and I know what impressionism is. To me, I would classify Degas as an impressionist. Matisse, if I had to guess, I would say like Rococo? So
you're just making words up.
I said that Matisse is the one that's not impressionist.
Matisse was pretty active around 1900 through 1910. He's part of the Fauvism movement.
Fauvism, that's what it is.
Not the Impressionist movement.
Man.
It's 132 to 60.
Okay.
There's 60 points still left on the board. I need to get every bit of those 60 points I can.
She's like, your next category is Jonathan's life.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, crap.
I don't know enough about
geography.
It.
Geography. Crap.
All right. Category is geography.
Get all 60, Chris.
What is the largest island in the Mediterranean Sea by land area?
All right, I'm locked in.
The primary islands in the Mediterranean that I can think of are Crete, Sicily, and Cyprus. Crete is kind of small. I think Sicily is a bigger one, but Sicily is like a long, flat one-ish, I think. I believe that Cyprus is the biggest because it's like stocky. It's tall.
Hey, it's not stocky. He's big boned.
It's husky.
Right?
It's a husky island. It's kind of got some depth, some width, and some height to it. So I went with Cyprus.
All right.
Yeah. Honestly, as you were continuing to talk about it, I had the three also. As you talk about it, I kind of talked myself out of it, but I wrote down Sicily, so I'm sticking with it. It's been one of those games, so it's probably going to be Cyprus.
So, at 9,927 square miles, Sicily.
Holy crap.
Look at that.
All right. Good night, folks. That's one. Five more.
Wow. Wow. How big is Cyprus? Do you know?
I don't know off the top of my head.
Darn.
All right. Next category is going to be in people.
I know people.
People.
What American actor was born Marion Morrison?
Wow. Marion Morrison?
Dude, I got nothing.
I have an answer, but I'm not comfortable with it.
I'm like...
Are you tapping? Or
no,
are you just
going
to throw something
out? I'm thinking.
Okay.
I'm grasping at straws. Marion Morrison? I don't even know if we're talking about a guy or a girl. I'm assuming it's a guy because she's an actor, but that can be used interchangeably.
I was going to say, that's yeah.
So, I feel humped.
See, he doesn't watch Firefly,
but he knows all the references.
Exactly right, but that's just because he's heard me say it so many times. I'm just completely screwed. All right, I'm going to lock in an answer that, and I'll tell you why I'm not a fan of it afterwards. So, go ahead, buddy.
Not the right answer. I have so little to go on right here. Marion Morrison, so the alliteration in the name makes me, so M-M, but Marshall Mathers is already taken, so it's not M&M. But it makes me think it could be a play on M&M, so I'm looking for, like, M&M names. Mercury Morris is not an actor. And then I think, what if it's somebody who just took a totally different name, right? Because a stage name, it's very common, but usually a stage name has something to do. So, like, Marion Morrison, if they have, like, a middle name that's cool, then Morrison could still be their last name, or maybe they just change it to Morris, right? So I'm like, feels like it could be
Zach Morris.
It's all right.
I'm struggling to even think of anybody's last name is Morris. Maybe somebody named Mary. All right. So here's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna do a name of a tough guy whose name I don't think is his real name kind of deal. So, but his name's probably Vince, but I'm going to go Vin Diesel.
All right, Chris?
Oh my gosh, you may have gotten it right, actually.
There's no way that's right, dude.
I don't know. That's some reason that's like coming to me now. No, when you started talking about the M&M, I was like thinking, if it's Marilyn Monroe, I'm going to be so mad at myself.
And I was thought
like,
no, about that's that. Norma
Jean. I was like, Norma Jean. I was like, okay, I'm good there.
Yeah.
I really think you might be right at Vin Diesel,
no
though.
Way.
I really do. I've got a feeling. But what I wrote down.
I got a feeling.
Because she asked questions in the first, or in the, for two episodes in the one previous. So, and she asked Pam Dauber more committee question. And so I was thinking maybe that's Robin Williams' name. And so I wrote Robin Williams, but I've got a feeling you're right.
No way.
I really do, and it's going to be very sad for me.
So what would you say if I said the Duke?
Oh, wow.
John Wayne?
John Wayne.
That's okay.
John Wayne's you're name on the right Marion path, Morrison. Then.
You're on the right path, the action star.
His name was Marion Morrison.
Marion Robert Morrison.
Wow. His parents did not like him. Good question. Tough question, but now that you say it.
Category is going to be television.
Okay, televisiones.
What year did Buffy the Vampire Slayer premiere on television?
Exactly what year?
Exactly what year.
Jeez!
Locked in.
Yeah. This is like, let me write a question for Chris. That's basically what you did here.
I didn't mean to.
I don't remember. I don't even remember if Buffy the Vampire Slayer was coming on when I was in high school. I feel like it was a late 90s show. It's in that period of time where I kind of grew up and stopped paying attention to all kinds of stuff. Maybe. Okay, I got something. I lived with Bob, my brother, in like 1999 through 2001, 2002-ish. And I remember having a Buffy the Vampire Slayer video game with Bob. His game, actually. So I knew that it was out long enough at that point to have a video game. So late 90s has got to be right for when it was on. My instinct would be kind of 94 through 96 in that realm. And for the life of me, I cannot recall whether or not it was on when I was in high school. 95, 96. I'm going to guess 1995.
All right, Chris? All
right. I believe I just read an article where it was celebrating its 19th anniversary, so 1997 is my answer.
It is 1997.
Boom.
even if it was one either way, I still wouldn't have gotten it right.
Needed that one.
Go back and watch the first episode of Buffy.
Oh, it's awful.
David Boreanaz looks like a baby.
Oh, absolutely it does. I mean, and also, in all fairness,
David Boreanaz is in the first episode of Buffy?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Really? Mm-hmm. Angel?
Yeah.
Yeah, Angel's in the first episode.
I didn't know that.
You just look at him, you're like, holy crap. Because, well, you know, now you look at him, he's got all those lines in his forehead. Like, oh, yeah. There's just nothing there. Let's get a score update.
So,
yes, I'll take that. Every little bit, inch it up.
That round was the opposite of iconic for me. It was clown-like.
It was cuconic.
I didn't get any right.
You didn't get any right?
None. The score is now 132-80.
All right. I got to get three more right to be remotely in this game.
Category is science.
Science!
Science.
Crap.
Science. Crap. What is the name of the study of human improvement through genetic means?
What the damn hell?
What are you kids saying? That, newfangled technology.
That boy ain't right.
That boy ain't right.
All right, ask the question again. Please.
What is the name of the study of human improvement through genetic means?
I feel like I've got half of it.
Oh, so much for getting three in a row. All right, I got something I'm not happy with locked in. So talk it out, man.
I feel like it's going to be a two-word answer. And one of the words should be evolution. By definition, improvement of any sort should be based to be evolution. Genetic would sometimes lead to a prefix of geno. It's like genome mutation, but that doesn't sound like anything real. And that's where I'm struggling. I'm trying to figure out something that sounds right. I'm just going to say evolution and make you tell me you need more if it needs more.
Okay.
Well, the part that I missed was the study of. So it needed to have ology, I believe, at the end of it, which I don't have. I just put gene splicing. So if I had to do it over again, it'd be gene splicing ology. Yes.
The answer is eugenics.
Okay. No, I didn't know that.
Wow.
Eugenics. I've heard of Dianetics.
I know.
Read the book.
I'm on Dianetics right now, so. I had a retention of water.
Don't you mean diuretics?
Oh. Wow. Awkward.
Was that? Come on.
Come on. These are jokes.
He's like, I keyed.
All right. Category is movies.
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 Who played King Arthur in Monty Python and the Holy Grail?
Oh, crap. A duck. Really?
Really, really.
That sucks.
I realize over the last few episodes, I've asked a lot of King Arthur kind of questions.
You really have.
That was on accident.
Are you locked in?
I'm hoping I'm remembering their last name right, but yes, I am locked in.
Okay. Man, it's amazing. I've seen that movie, I cannot tell you how many times, and never thought to really look up the actors' names and everything. So I went from needing to get all three to hoping I get one, which is the last one right. And then also that will prove that I've also missed both movie questions this time around. So Eric Idle's in it. It was Hank Azaria in the play, Spamalot. It's not John Cleese.
He's like Cleavon Little.
I know, right? Dude, that would be that would change that movie dramatically and probably for the awesomeness.
That'd be great.
Okay. I cannot think of the person's name. I'm going to say John Cleese's final answer.
Okay. Cleese was Lancelot.
Yeah.
Idol was Robin.
Yeah, that's right.
Bravely strode Sir Robin, came forth from Camelot. Michael Palin was in it.
Yeah, he was the idiot.
Michael Palin was Gawain or Galavant. One of those.
Okay.
Not Galavant. That's a bad TV show.
You didn't like that show?
Oh, no, I actually have a couple episodes I haven't seen yet. I've enjoyed it quite a bit.
Yeah, it's made me laugh a lot.
There's no Sir Laugh-A-Lot. There is laughs
that I cannot lie.
There is Sir not appearing in this film.
Yeah.
If you remember that
I do.
Bit. It's not Terry Gilliam. It's not Terry Jones. That leaves the only other member of Monty Python, and I hope I got his last name right. It is Graham Chapman.
It is Graham Chapman.
Nice job.
Last question.
Last question. The round is going to be in television.
Wow. This really did. The end of it was tailored for me. It's just, they've been hard questions for me for one reason or another.
Who was banned from Saturday Night Live by a popular phone vote in 1983?
Really?
Yep.
Yeah, there's been a couple people banned.
There's been about 16 people banned from the show.
Yes, but I was thinking people that Lorne Michaels said, I don't want them back. I didn't know there's anybody by phone.
By popular phone vote in 1983.
83.
Yeah, wow. I'm not getting this one either. And I know a lot of Saturday Night Live stuff.
Only one answer that's going to even come close for me here. All right, I've written my answer down.
Okay. There's quite a few. Like, for example, Sinead O'Connor got banned by tearing the Pope's pitcher in half. That was enough to get her booted. Milton Berle got banned.
Did he?
He did. Yeah, I can't really think of anybody else, so I'm going to say Milton Berle, final answer.
Okay.
I have no idea. So I picked the person who's had like the most annoying characters that I could think of, and I went with Andy Kaufman.
Mm.
By popular phone vote in 1983, Andy Kaufman.
Nice job.
So what they did is they had two numbers throughout the entire episode that was like, you know, keep Andy or dump Andy. And the way it ended up working out is the one that the dump Andy got more calls in.
Well, I'll be honest with you. I mean, he was on the very first episode of Saturday Night Live in 1976. Yes. He actually was on the very opening skit, which was the very famous.
That's actually what helped him get the job on Taxi.
Yeah.
Which was the very famous
where he sang, he lip synced the song of Mighty Mouse, of the theme to Mighty Mouse. And, but because that was 76 and 83, I figured Andy Kaufman wasn't even on the map that much anymore. So that's one of the reasons why I didn't choose him.
I just thought about who does really irritating characters. And he was doing this weird stuff with Jerry Lawler. He was really, his characters, some of them had become very belligerent in a sense. And I don't know if it was just him who was belligerent or if he was playing a belligerent guy. Like I could see Zach Galifianakis going too far with Between Two Ferns and pissing somebody off. Right. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And Andy Kaufman, I think, was the guy who was going too far. Yeah. So that's why I went with him.
He loved performance art. He saw everything in just that way. And it was very obnoxious.
It was weird.
Me.
Yeah.
It really was.
Well, okay. After the sixth round, I have 152. Mm-hmm. You have 80. It's not a runaway.
It's not a runaway. All right. That was the first thing I was afraid of. Now, here's where I am really afraid. What is the final category? Let me guess. Science or space? Because you haven't asked the space question yet.
Sports.
Well,
your category is sports.
All right. How many points do I have that I'm betting?
You have 80.
There's my answer. I'm calling my shot right now.
Okay.
Because I have no other options.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
Okay.
You guys
okay.
ready for your question?
I'm ready.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
I'm not your pal. Friend.
Shut up, Andy.
I'm not your friend,
okay.
guy.
All right. Okay. Okay. All right.
Na, 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 na. What the heck is that?
And all my people say.
Oh, okay.
Put these basketball players in order by the number of their MVP awards, highest to lowest.
Okay, I thought she was going to say, put these basketball players in order from tallest to shortest.
That would have been awesome.
Spud Webb.
Muggsy Bogues.
So, Wilt Chamberlain, Steve Nash, Michael Jordan, and Larry Bird.
I would just like to say, damn.
Man, nice. Thanks, Ron Simmons. That was good stuff.
Is that a good damn or a bad damn?
No, actually.
I said exactly what I mean.
Yeah, he's going, I'm really happy I'm in the lead right now.
By tallest to shortest?
By the number of their MVP awards.
Oh, MVP.
Highest to lowest.
He's like, I'm out.
No, actually, I felt like it was okay. Highest to lowest or lowest to highest?
Highest to lowest.
All right, I'm locked in.
And I am two. Number one, Michael Jordan. Two, Wilt Chamberlain. Three, Steve Nash. Four, Larry Bird.
Okay.
And the reason why I went with Steve Nash is I've got a feeling that Steve actually only has like two. And Larry, I think, only has like one because he was up against Jordan at the beginning and then Magic Johnson for the first part of his career. So I really, as amazing as Larry Bird is, I don't think he had that many MVPs. And I'm pretty sure he got it for like the 84 championship when they won. But so again, Michael, Wilt, Steve, Larry.
I got to be honest with you. I'm very nervous.
Okay.
Because I was hoping that we'd have the same answer, but we don't.
Sure.
And I think that it's either you're right or I'm right, I think. Okay? So I actually think Michael had more than that. I think he had 8.
Okay.
I thought he had more MVPs than championships, and I feel like he has the most all time. So I thought he had 8. I figured Wilt probably had like 5 or 6. Mm-hmm. So I said Michael, Wilt, and I know Steve Nash. I'm pretty sure Steve Nash only has 2. I said Larry probably has 3.
Okay.
So I went Jordan, Wilt, Larry Bird, Steve Nash,
okay,
in that order.
So, oddly enough, you were talking about Abdul-Jabbar a little while ago. He's got the most MVPs with 6.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, Michael Jordan with 5, Wilt Chamberlain with 4, Larry Bird with 3, Steve Nash with 2.
Wow.
You got him flipped.
Whew. He got it right. Nice job, man. Yep.
Man. I got to be honest, dude. I was totally stressed out about that.
And I'll be honest, I didn't realize she was going to go chalk like that. I really thought that was a fairly chalk answer. And so I switched it.
What's a chalk answer?
A chalk in sports means that you're picking the team that is favored to win.
Yeah.
So what he's saying is if he had to put these in order by who he thinks would be the first to the last, that's the order he would have put them in.
Yeah. Wow. But there's usually a wrinkle. And I thought that was the wrinkle.
So I didn't even think about it like that.
Yeah, I overthink. Shocker.
But so Carmella's not a sports person, though.
Yeah.
And so she wouldn't even think about
a wrinkle. I'm not a basketball person.
You're a soccer person. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, she'd have put a wrinkle in a soccer question.
Yeah. No.
This was tough
for me. This was a great question.
I mean, I was stressed because if you were right, you would have won a game that I dominated.
Yeah.
And I was going to be upset.
Yeah.
In my feelings. Would have been hurt.
Well, don't worry. You won. You won. It's okay, buddy.
What did you wager?
I told you what I wagered. I bet the farm.
You bet all 80.
The kit, the caboodle.
What'd you bet?
I bet 9. Just enough to where if I got it right and he got it right that I'd win.
1 by 1.
Yeah, so I have 161.
So you would have won no matter what, even if I did it right. The only way I would have won is...
Yes, I was actually hoping you would give the same answer I did.
Right.
Because by having a different answer, there is a chance that I could be wrong and you could be right.
Yeah, absolutely.
So... The final score is 161-0.
Yeah, man, that hurts.
Oh, my gosh, man. You had me sweating that question, too. I thought that was a very good question.
That explains the smell.
Aw, that's mean.
Oh, did Jonathan. I tell you something. It's good stuff.
It's good stuff?
Just say that. It's good stuff.
It's good
stuff. The ladies love it, apparently.
Yes. So, that means, once again, wow, I really thought I had a chance in both those episodes.
You really did have a chance in both those episodes.
But... It's another one for Jonathan.
Oh, my gosh. Can't get enough of that.
I can.
No.
I really can. So, you got a review or two for us, buddy?
I want to do a Warhead of the Week first.
Oh, even better.
Warhead of the Week is Josh Breggy.
Thanks, Josh.
Josh, I believe Josh is... Carmella wants to be Warhead of the Week, but she's not going to get it. Never going to get it. Never going to get it. Never going to get it.
Thank you, Invoke.
Never
going
to get it. You give me a review and you might get Warhead of the Week. Josh Breggy, on the other hand, said, I love listening to you guys when I'm working in the lab.
Oh, wow. So we have a scientist?
Scientist. Thank you, Josh. We appreciate you, man.
Carmella, real nice.
We got a cover up going on over here, folks. And we have some reviews. So remember, we're trying to get up to 50, and once it hits 50, you know what my next number is going to be, right? I want to get up to 60, so don't slow down. Let's bump these up. Come on, we got a lot more than 45 listeners who like us. Ta-da. How about this review from Spreet?
Spreet.
S-P-R-E-E-T.
It used to be one of my favorite drinks.
Spreet. It's like the knockoff Sprite. If you like Sprite, you'll like Spreet.
Why this trivia podcast over another?
Because we're awesome.
Great sound quality. Nothing is more annoying than trying to listen to a podcast and you can't hear what's being said. Fun trivia creators. Great cast of extras. Best of the Trivia Podcast. Keep up the good work.
Ooh, nice.
That's a good like one.
I love it when they compare us to our competitors and they say we're the best. That's my favorite kind of review.
And I like that that they did not forget about the other amazing parts of the show, which is the other people that you bring in.
I don't even know I'd call you extras. I would just say our friends of the show.
There you go. Absolutely. But, well, we got the first lady here.
That's right. Me.
Well, actually, she will have the crown first lady once she writes the review. Then it will be returned to her.
Absolutely.
You'll have it tomorrow. You said you'd write it later on tonight.
We have XZ Jackal Xavier.
Good night.
And XZ Jackal Xavier says, this podcast is trivia heroin. It is a must for any trivia geek. Great questions, funny host, great breakdown of the problem solver's thought process. Can't get enough of this podcast. Love it. Love nice. It. Yeah. Love it. He actually, his title of the review is Danger, You Will Get Addicted.
That's outstanding. Thank you so much for that amazing review. That's awesome. We love that.
Keep them coming, guys. All right. So let's wrap up. Remember, if you're not hanging out with us over at the Trivial Warfare Army Facebook group, just search Trivial Warfare Army in the Facebook search bar. And sign up. We got a lot of fun happening over there.
And Jonathan will give you a nice welcome and everything.
Absolutely.
And people know that you're there. And you can ask questions and answer questions.
And I'll add you to the map. That's one of my favorite things. I love the map showing where people are around the world.
Yeah.
I love that.
That's pretty cool.
If you want to be like Pate and you want to donate anything, you can donate on PayPal to trivialwarfare@gmail.com. And if you want to send me an email, you can also reach out to me at that same email address. Chris, you're at...
WarmingUpChris@yahoo.com.
Love that one. And
send your Warming Up Chris questions to me if you have any, like we did, like we read on the show today. We're happy to use them. We love them.
Love them.
And we'll give you credit. Your name will be forever ensconced in podcast history.
Wow.
He used the word ensconced quite, like, correctly.
Quite eloquent.
Man, well.
You've been reading?
Well.
You know how to read?
Only comic books. I'm sure it was in an X-Men comic somewhere. It's a new character.
All right, Chris, get us out of here.
Ensconce.
Yes. Well, Jonathan actually took half my stuff, so I'm just going to say, Carmela, great job with the questions.
Thank you. Thank
Jonathan,
you.
Great job with the win. Chris, great job at losing again.
Jonathan, great job with the answers.
That's right. And folks,
what
thanks
we like
again.
To see.
Yep, that's right. Well, I don't like to see it as much
well,
as he
Well, we like
does.
To see answers.
Okay, answers! So, until next time, I'm Chris, that's Carmela, that's Jonathan, and this is Trivia Warfare, where it's not just trivia, it's war. Take care, everybody.
Bye, guys.
To learn more about the show and become a warhead yourself, visit TrivialWarfare.com. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes or any other good podcast app, and find us on Facebook or Twitter by searching Trivial Warfare. The theme music on today's show was provided by BenSound.com.
That's a true story. So
true story.
I did not do that.
You did in your head.
I really did not, actually. I've burned
did
it.
A little.
He He's like, that's a true story. I got away with that one.
Slipped right under there.
That's right. They didn't even notice.